You're listening to the 2022 Premiership season on AFL Nation. For Beaumont Tiles, hybrid flooring in store now.
Friday night footy from the SCG, the Sydney Swans and Richmond. AFL Nation is for Sports Power. Get the latest big brand footy boots in store at Sports Power now. Jared Waitley, Anthony Hudson, Jared Healy and Nick Del Santo with you. We're an hour and 20 minutes away from the opening siren. So plenty of time to work through the issues of the week and then set you up for what's to come tonight. It's been a week for former North Melbourne greats, hasn't it? So we're in the company of greatness.
Where is he? David King joins us.
Nick Del Santo, what have you made of the events of the week at one of your old clubs?
A lot. I did have a couple of messages today when it was read in the Herald Sun that Ben has asked for past greats to come back that have been critical. I said, well, it's clearly not me, so I don't want any help from my end. There's so much to dissect through this, and I'm sure we've all spoken about it. I've been asked constantly and consistently about my experiences there. So the first bit I'll say, and I think we might have touched on this when Brad Scott was finishing up and some of the stories that were coming out of the football club is, so my initial take on this, the stories that I'm hearing now, and I was there 5 or 6 years ago, are so foreign to my experiences at the Kangas. I loved my time there. The people, majority of them being players, have moved on. So I'm hearing these stories. I'm reading the papers today. I can't relate directly to nearly anything that's currently happening because my experience was so different. I loved my time. We played finals, 3 years that I was there, a couple of prelims. So it's a different experience. I'm still disappointed by the flow on of events, and we can go about this multiple ways, but I'm happy to share this story publicly. So I was one of the four players that was asked to move on, and hand on heart, I actually thought it was the right thing for the football club. The hard bit was it meant that my football career was over. But in the cold light of day and the way that Brad Scott told me, I said, you know what? It hurts, but you're right. You know, this is what the club needs. We need to move past the older guys and find this new group coming through. I don't have a disappointment in regard to that I didn't get to play on more, but I've been disappointed about the decisions from a list, the players that are currently playing and have been for the last 5 or 6 years. They made the right decision and then have made multiple wrong decisions to sit here right now, round 10, and hearing the stories that we've heard consistently for a period of time. So that's my initial take on it. Really brave move, and I was the small piece in that puzzle. When you're speaking about Brent Harvey moving on, club legend, Drew Petrie, Michael Ferrito, I was right down the end. I was the package deal that had to be moved on. You couldn't get rid of those guys and keep me, which I agree with.
So it's the 2.5 years of chronic indecision when they couldn't work out whether they would go full-blown rebuild. Mm-hmm. Then they rejected that, and then they realised, oh, we made a mistake rejecting
absolutely
that, and snapped to we are in rebuild.
So you sit here right now, I think the way that it's been managed publicly over the last 2 to 3 days has been inconsistent as well. The messaging hasn't been firm. It hasn't been reassuring to all North Melbourne people. It hasn't been reassuring to players. Now, that's the other piece that we're having all these conversations outside of the football club, and rightly so. But everyone's doing it. Everyone's talking North Melbourne for one of the few times at the cafes. They want to know what's going on. They want to hear the inside story about Horn Francis and Noble and everything that goes with it. But the reality is, if I'm a player right now and I'm being told, whether I'm a young player or an old player, I've got a little bit of self-preservation going on right now is how I'm feeling. Geez, I better get my backyard clean. I better make sure I get a heap of the footy this weekend so I'm not the one that they're speaking about. The conversation is swirling around about really poor list management. You have 3 list managers / recruiters walking out because, rightly or wrongly, there's a lot of blame. And they're like, oh, gee, they must be talking about me because I've been drafted in the last 4 or 5 years. So it must be on me. Like, I got drafted being, you know, the next generation coming through, and now it's our fault that we're not coming through at the right pace. Now, the complexity of that is, when you're a struggling team, you need your older players and senior players to be playing decent football. You don't have to be the player that you once were. You need to be playing decent football. They don't have that right now. So the domino effect is you're asking these younger players that should be nurtured, that should be playing 50 games before we even really know their name and how good they are. They're being thrown in the deep end. They're being asked to swim before they've gone to swimming lessons. So that's the complexity of this mix that we're seeing right now. And as a result, you get fluctuations in effort. You get fluctuations definitely in outcome, and we get this inconsistency in everything that we're hearing the last 3 to 4 days. But these stories have been going around for a couple of weeks. I think they could nip it a little bit harder than what they've done this week.
What do you
think? Well, there's so many threads to it, isn't there? I mean, there's the whole situation, about the stories. I think that's a good place to start, in a way. The stories that have come out of the club, a number of those things have been made public. We've all probably heard other stuff as well. That's a concern. And Ben Amafio explained this morning as that can just be innocent. It can be somebody just talking to their partner and eventually it gets out. But I think that's a major... And it happens often when you've got in a losing situation. But they need to... And you talked about their messaging. I think they got there today when he said, oh, we're not quite... We thought we'd be further ahead. At the start, they tried to say everything's okay, and clearly it's not. But they've got to that position where they thought they'd like to be further ahead. But from here on in, can they have a consistent message, and can they shut down the leaking and the various stories? Because they're trying to say they're unified and we're roughly on track, but it's not playing out that way at the moment, is it?
Well, it doesn't look like it to me. I mean, ultimately, I think you don't have to be Brian Freddie to see that they're nowhere near where they would hope to have been. If they're going the Brisbane model, they're four games behind them this year at the end of the season, and they don't look like winning another game unless they play the Eagles at the present time. They haven't cut too hard in some respects, but they have cut too hard if you factor in what the senior group have been able to deliver. So they've been exposed really badly. But I mean, if we go back to where this all started, I think it was Kane. I tell me if I'm wrong, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he said, don't blame the coach, blame the recruiting staff, in particular Glenn Luff. But I'm asking, blame him for what? Because, I mean, ultimately, the coach is responsible for the on-field performance. And, you know, I don't think any club could hang their hat on their recruits that are 2 years old. You cannot possibly say. I mean, you look at Essendon right now. Last year, their first-year players were unbelievable. This year, they're poor. And they're in the bottom of the ladder. So, you know, but that doesn't mean they're not really good recruits. Now, you know, if Campbell was there and Will Phillips was there, well, you know, you may take him and you may take that. But there was a collective decision made to build from within and then put the bigs outside. They've got another kid called Charlie Combin that's a tall that's supposed to be in that role, and yet he's not being played. So I'm not sure where the future is there. But, you know, I think it's crazy to be even talking about the kids, given the exposure is 2 years. So that's my starting point. Kids are nothing. You know, forget them. They're coming through. They may or may not be good enough. I can remember going back when James Brayshaw took over, and there was a draft, and there was Cunnington, and there was Jack Zeebel. And he said, we'll never know how good this club is going to be until we know how good those guys are. And that was, you know, I think he gave him 8 years. Well, we're 2 years into that 8 years. So they didn't prove to be collectively good enough with the people around them. And we're not going to know about the kids that North Melbourne have drafted. I think they protested a little bit too much as well. You don't have three people walk out. I mean, Mark Finnegan's an amazing North Melbourne man. We haven't heard from Mark Finnegan. So the silence there tells me that not everything's hunky-dory. And that's okay in footy clubs, but just don't tell us that it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, not everything is smooth sailing.
No.
I think that the idea of trying to portray a happy and united footy club where nothing's happened that wasn't expected on the week where you locked the critical mass in your recruiting department was that's patently stupid. Yeah,
it was.
So to try to use that as your front line of defence rather than address. So what happened? Why have those recruit? Were you happy for those recruiters to leave? So are you second guessing? Never mind what's happening outside. Yeah. Have you been second guessing what they're doing?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's probably the open. That's the one part that hasn't fully been addressed. I think it was so refutable. If you chose to engage with the commentary, it was incredibly refutable. Mm. On Tuesday morning, say, to personally denigrate a person in that manner is just wrong. Mm. And all of the work that goes on is not on a laptop. But we value analytics along with an experienced recruiter's eye. And then I would challenge is, well, you prove to me that McDonald's a better player than Phillips. Because I haven't seen it.
Yeah, well, McDonald's been dropped four times, five times, and he's playing in a much better side than Sydney. So there's, you know, there's a bit of the rub of the green that there.
So
they
sort of combusted unnecessarily.
Absolutely, they did, and they just should have, I think, used it to grow and used it to actually accept that there's some problems in that footy club with communication, and some problems where people obviously don't think they're valued and their fingers are being pointed, and maybe out of this they'll. They'll, as a group, you know, from Ben Amafio through, they'll realise that they've got to do things better.
So it'll be interesting now. I agree with you. It's hard to see them winning a game in this phase. Maybe they win on Sunday.
Yep.
If they do go another long stretch without a win, given how volatile it has been this yep. week, is you know how much do you endure? People keep talking about rebuilds and go, "Ah, oh, Melbourne and Carlton." Mm. Well, take me to the Mark Neal years yep. at yeah. Melbourne. So that the risk is that these are the Mark Neal years yep. at North Melbourne.
Yes, and there's been plenty of people suggest that there's an equivalent there. So, you know, they should be learning from that. They've employed Roosie, but Roosie's overseas, so that's not helping. I think they've got his offsider there. Is it Jared Murphy?
Yep.
So I'm not sure what role they actually play in this, but we haven't got, you know, we've got so many young kids whose careers are at this stage, they're actually now relying upon North Melbourne getting it right. We're also going to get to the end of this season, and we're going to get a window into the truth that we've just been told, the yep. North Melbourne truth. And if Zerha decides to move on, well, we're going to say, question mark. If two or three other players whose names have been mentioned to me today, they also try to get out, well, I think we're going to get a much better insight into what really is going on, that people aren't happy.
What about the Horn Francis situation then?
Which part of it? Because there's a couple of pieces within that as well. That they're heading home.
No, not that. More, what happens if he doesn't re-sign and it gets? What level do that? What should North's attitude be to him in terms of an offer and the future? How desperately do they need him to stay? Not just for on field, but for that look of an attractive place.
Well,
to
keep
to come
in mind,
to.
12 months ago they had godfather offers from clubs in South Australia to give him everything that they wanted. So those clubs, being Adelaide, could have Horn Francis if he was to go back. You're getting something significant in return. Now, his start to his football career, I think, has been serviceable. I think he's been ultra competitive. And you see a lot of things in him that you want from a young player. You know, I think consistency and effort. Now, clearly, internally, they want more. But I just touched on before about, you know, so Ben Cunnington is a huge piece. I think we quickly forget the significance that he is around a clearance. And that way it allows other people to do different roles at a stoppage, for example. With him not there, you're asking guys that aren't at that A-grade inside midfield role to do it. If Horn Francis is to go home, clearly, and this is a little bit like the conversation North, is it great? Absolutely not. Does it look bad? Yeah, it does. Absolutely it does, because you've only had him for 6 months at this stage and already there's rumblings about him not being happy and comfortable and other stories about what's going on internally. But the facts are, Hutto, in hindsight, we'll probably know more, but Kangas will have to get something in return for him to head back to South Australia if that is the case. The other one that I...
But it does say that we're rebuilding phase two.
Correct. The other bit that I find amusing at times is the contradictory that we're speaking about the playing group not being good enough, but then we're saying it's the coach. Now, how can we fairly assess David Noble given the personnel that's on the park? Now, they've got the Saints on Sunday afternoon. The Saints are a good team, maybe really good at the moment, but they're not the very best. But if you just isolated every single matchup on the ground, and there's 18, and we'll even include the four on the bench, how many can you honestly say, just on pure ability and form, that they could win out of that 22? Now, if you can't do that, then your system has to hold up. You've got to balance out the individual brilliance or the inability of that in a system, and neither of them are working for North Melbourne at the moment, for multiple reasons, once again. But it's hard to say, well, that's David Noble's fault, because once again, these kids aren't at that level just yet to be able to execute for four quarters what the game demands.
The irony is they're coming off their best performance of the year, probably, and against Melbourne. And they did it with, you know, half a dozen, or two or three of their better players not in the side.
And I thought clearly changed the way they play.
They did. They're now going more boundary and stopped whacking the ball in the middle, a bit like Richmond tonight. They've been they were the architects of going corridor. Now, because their defence is struggling a bit, they're going more corridor. So footy clubs are an interesting place.
Yeah, they shouldn't have been in the conversation at all this week, as they got out with a commendable performance against the benchmark, and yet they have, through their own deeds, I think, spent the week at the forefront.
And the offer to Glenn that Benamafio made, saying he can come back, we've offered him. I mean, what if I was Ben, I'd be concerned about my ability to read the play and know what's going on in my footy club. If there's a bloke that unhappy, he's about to walk out, you actually rate him, but you haven't told him until he's walked out. I mean, that he needs to find out a little bit more about what's going on at the grassroots level of his staff so these things don't happen.
AFL Nation will take your feedback across the weekend on the Southern Phone open line. Switch and save with Southern Phone mobile plans. Tonight's Swans game is brought to you by Bingley, Australian owned, Australian family owned for more than 65 years.
A sports news update for Rold. Eat good with Rold. It's fast, fresh Vietnamese.
The Golden State Warriors are into the NBA Championship Series with a 4-1 conference final series win over Dallas. The Warriors won today's Game 5, 120-110, with Klay Thompson scoring a game-high 32 points. They'll play the winner of the Boston Celtics-Miami Heat Series, which Boston leads 3-2 going into tomorrow's Game 6. Australia's Jai Hindley remains a mere 3 seconds off the lead in the Giro d'Italia, going into the final three stages of the Cycling Grand Tour. He survived a late scare in a flat stage last night, suffering a punctured tyre in the final kilometres, but it was close enough to the finish that he was given the same finishing time as the peloton. The race finishes with two mountain stages, then an individual time trial on stage 21 to decide the pink jersey. That's the latest in sport. I'm April Austin. Eat good with Rold. It's fast, fresh, Vietnamese.
You're listening to the 2022 Premiership season on AFL Nation. For Beaumont Tiles, hybrid flooring in store now.